to develop that more intimate relationship with God that he intends for you to have. Sometimes in our relationship with Jesus, we haven't really grasped all of who he is and all of what he's done. And yet, as we saw earlier, that when you begin trusting truth, it will transform you. But sometimes we just don't quite get it. And so I've asked a couple people to share with you just a little brief illustration of how this works. And so Kat and Jesus are going to talk to you about this idea.
My trash. I'm a little embarrassed about it.
Oh, well, is that what? Hey, Kat.
Jesus.
Oh, it's been a long time.
Yeah, I didn't expect to see you here.
Whoa, what's that smell?
Oh, well, that's my trash. I'm a little embarrassed about it.
Oh, well, is that why you've been avoiding me?
Avoiding you? I haven't really been avoiding you. I just, you know, I don't want to get close to you. I mean, I don't want you to smell it.
I'll take it, Kat. Come on.
Oh, no. That's okay. I mean, I made it. It's my trash. You know, I should carry it. It's okay.
Yeah, but Kat, I mean, this is my job.
Right.
I take people's trash. That's what I do, so.
Right, okay. Well, maybe I could go and just clean it up a little bit, you know, and then I'll come back.
No, Kat, I don't need you to do that. Okay, I'll take it from you so you don't have to carry the weight.
Oh, well, I...
Come on. Just hand it over. All right? Let go.
Yes,
yeah?
Just,
yeah? Yeah? How's that feel?
Weird. Wow. That is crazy. Yeah,
just loosen it up a little bit.
Check that out. I don't know if I've ever moved like that before.
Well,
I mean, that is crazy. I feel so free and alive.
Lack of trash.
Whoa, it's just like, this is the craziest feeling I have ever had. It's like something's missing, you know?
Well,
Get used to
feeling free, because that's what you are now.
Right, okay.
What are you doing?
I gotta get one thing, okay? Hold on, just a minute.
Get one thing? No, don't open the bag.
Jesus, thank you so much for your sacrifice. I really appreciate all that you've done for me.
What's going on here, Kat?
What?
Look, I'll take the trash, but you need to put that back.
Oh, no, actually, that's okay. This is mine. It's my piece. I want to keep it.
No, it goes right back in the bag, so I'll help you. Here,
put
it here.
No, Jesus, I need to remind myself not to make more trash. I mean, that just
Kathleen,
makes sense.
I will remind you not to make more trash.
Oh,
okay?
Well, Jesus, you know.
That's what I do. I mean, we'll walk together.
I know, but I should be in a better place than this by now. I mean, I'm constantly doing things wrong, you know, and I'm constantly letting you down.
No, the only thing that's letting me down is you taking the stuff back.
Okay.
Look, I took care of the trash before you even created it. Look, don't you see what's happening? Every time I take your trash away, you come back and take another piece. And the more pieces you carry around, the more trash you attract. It reeks. Kat, when I look at you, I don't see your sin. I see you. The real you, the free you. This is what I'm fighting for. This is what I died for.
Jesus, I'm sorry. Please forgive me.
I've already forgiven you. The question is, will you forgive yourself?
Sometimes we say we trust Jesus, but we carry our own trash. We got a stack of stuff that we think, well, I know he died for that, but that's my fault. Yeah, that's why he went to the cross, because it was your fault, because you couldn't clean up your own trash. And yet he wants us to understand this, because even as Kat demonstrated there for us, if you know you stink, don't you avoid people? I mean, we do. You know what I'm talking about. When you know you stink, you avoid people. And if you know spiritually you're stinking, I'm here to tell you, you will avoid close relationship with Jesus. And as long as you're carrying your stuff, as long as you're holding on to that which you have done wrong, you will not enter into the close, intimate relationship that Jesus wants you to have. And carrying a backpack of trash does not keep you out of trash. It makes you avoid the pure one and stay around those who stink. It really will hold you back. And what I want us to see today is that Jesus has made a complete provision for you to be able to draw near to God confidently. And what you saw there was somebody displaying what so often people feel when they think about coming to God. And it's like, I got this stuff and I don't want you to smell my stink. Guess what? He already does. Is that the truth? He already does. He already sees it. He already knows it. And so if you're feeling fearful, if you're feeling guilty, if you're feeling ashamed and unworthy, and maybe you've had to pull back and distant, because you've stepped into some unbelief, maybe there's some spots in your life where you're saying, I just don't buy it. Wherever you are, there's a high priest who paid a full price for you to be able to draw near, even in that place. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Because hesitations of the heart will keep us from enjoying this relationship with Father. He's told us, ask, seek, knock, right? He's told us, abide. He's told us, watch and pray. These are things we've been looking at. And now today we're going to see, he's told us, draw near with confidence. Draw near confidently. So I want to talk to you about how do you do that and why you can do that. All right? So hopefully we'll answer a couple questions here. Hebrews chapter 4, I'm going to back up one more verse and start with verse 12. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes with whom we have to do. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we might receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Isn't that what you need? Mercy and grace. That's what I need. And I'm sometimes trying to earn it. We're trying to clean up what we've got that's messed up. And people will tell me that sometimes. Hey, James, I'm going to come to church just as soon as I get my act together. Say, I'm sorry, I'll miss you. People look at me and go, what? I says, you won't make it. You won't ever get your act together. Churches, the family of God is for people who recognize I couldn't get my act together, so I came to God so he'd put me together. So he starts off here in that 12th verse. In fact, this, by the way, friends, is one of those amazing verses about the Word of God. It's a whole sermon in itself. I can't go there, but this will keep you out of the Word of God. This word will keep you out of the Word of God. Because when you experience what it says it does in that 12th verse, some people go, oh, a little edgy. It's just too sharp. You know how there's some people who are so sharp that you just don't. Sometimes you come to the Word of God, it will slap you 5 minutes into your quiet time. And you go, hey, I didn't need that. Well, no, maybe you did. He speaks through this word. And it says, verse 13, there's no creature hidden from his sight. All right? God sees beyond the shower curtain, friends. God sees beyond the plastic bag you've wrapped up around your stuff. God sees you as you are. But he also sees you, if your faith is in Christ, he sees you as what? Forgiven in Christ. He sees you as the one who's trusted him. But hear me in this, first of all, because this is a key thing that I think many of you know. But God sees it all and knows it all, doesn't he? He sees it all and knows it all. But because of that, that's part of is awesome about his character, but it's also intimidating about his character. Because you're walking towards God. I mean, picture it. There's this great, awesome throne room down here towards the end, and you can see this glow of brightness. But as you walk towards God, there's signs on the way. You've read them in your Bible that said, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. God is holy and will punish sin. The wages of sin is death. You know, when you're seeing signs like that, that doesn't feel very inviting, does it? But it reveals to you that God knows where you are and he knows how to deal with that. And that's what these next verses point out. My friends, hear this. You will not draw near to God by hiding or by pretending. Not with God, not with yourself, and not with the church people. You know? I don't mean you have to come and act depressed when you're depressed. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying be real. Because that's who you are. And notice what he says here. Therefore, okay, knowing that the Word of God can deal with any issue in your life, knowing that God sees you exactly as you are, since we have a great high priest. Oh, there is so much. 12 chapters of this book of Hebrews is explaining what he means when he says great high priest. And we don't have 12 days to walk through those 12 chapters, because this whole book explodes the Old Testament. It explodes Leviticus and Exodus, and it's a marvelous description of Jesus. But he says, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. Not hold fast to our sin. Let us hold fast to our Savior. He says, there's a situation here. He says, they were wrestling with issues. They were being invited to go back under the legal system of Judaism and say, Jesus wasn't enough. He's good, but you need to. And you understand that there's a lot of religions that name Jesus that are still doing that. Jesus plus this. And there's a lot of people even in Christian churches that are doing that. You're a good Christian if you have Jesus plus, and then you have to do these things to make yourself somebody else. And he says, we have a great high priest. He says, hold fast your confession. And so the way I paraphrase that is, hang on to Jesus, the Son of God, our great high priest. Friends, that is the only hope I have. That is the only hope you have, is you hang on to Jesus. In fact, the awesome thing is he's hanging on to you. But this is kind of one of those relationships. You've had it with your kids or your grandkids. You're hanging on to them. And what do you ask them to do? Hang on to you. Okay, who's going to determine whether or not they're hung on to? the big person, isn't it, right? Okay, God's hanging on to you. He asks us to hang on to him. He asks us to keep ourselves in the love of God. He asks us to respond to him. But the sustaining power of staying in fellowship with God is actually done by the very power of the Holy Spirit. You wouldn't stay in fellowship apart from his work in your life. It doesn't happen. And so he says, so he tells them, hold fast this confession that you have a great high priest. Turn to the person next to him and tell him that truth. You have a great high priest. Is that the truth? You have a great high priest. And now here, I want to tell you, there's some other times when you need to do this. Some of you need to do that exact same thing when that person you just leaned over and told has really ticked you off. And they're at that spot, and that's where you need to lean over. Instead of giving them a piece of your mind you can ill afford to lose, you need to look at them and say, you have a great high priest. Wouldn't that be an awesome piece of grace to give somebody? Instead of the condemnation that we lay on each other sometimes, is to say, you have a great high priest. And by the way, when you do that, it's a great reminder to you that it is not you that sits on the throne. You know, you're not the one straightening them out. We can love on people, but don't hang on to your sins. Hang on to your Savior, all right? Because we have a great high priest. Now, understand this. We don't have high priests today in our culture, but a high priest was one who represented the people as one of them. He was taken from them. He was one of them, and he represented the people to God. See, prophets would come and represent God to the people. They would speak for God to the people. The high priest comes as a representative of the people, bringing the people's problems, the people's sin, to God. And what would he do? He would offer sacrifice. He would atone for the sin. So he would come with the sin of the people before God, and there, on the Day of Atonement, in the Holy of Holies, separated by a veil, he would enter in and make right. So he was what? The most important person. You need somebody to get you into God's presence and deal with your problems. And so the high priest, high guy. But he says of Jesus, he's not just a good high priest. He's what? He's a great high priest, and he takes this whole book to explain to you how he is much better than anything the Jews have ever had. And we have a great high priest. So he is our representative before God, the one who goes before God for us to say, I know what their problem is. But he's also, as that mediator, he's the one who offers the sacrifices for them. And Jesus did that for us. And as a great high priest, what did he do? This was greater than any high priest had ever done. Jesus didn't offer just a sacrifice. Jesus offered himself as the sacrifice. So he presented himself to God and says, I present myself as a perfect Lamb of God. Because they all sin. Understand this, when you come into the presence of God, you come on the basis of Jesus. I don't care how good your quiet time's been. I don't care how many Sunday school classes you've taught. I don't care how much of that Bible you've read. It brings you no access to God. None. Only through Jesus. We come by the blood of his cross, the blood of his life. Look how it was put in John 1:29 by John the Baptist so long ago. Read this with me. The next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That is a massive statement, friends. You know, sometimes we've heard this stuff and you've heard this stuff. Just meditate on what that means. He says, Behold, he's pointing, I believe, right at Jesus. He's got all his followers that have been with him. He says, there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, not just of the Jews. Interesting theology John had. He goes clear past that. He says the sin of the world is going to be taken away by this one lamb. And when you read in John, you see right there some of John's followers just go, psht, that's who I'm following then. And they leave him. Because he takes away. Now get this, friends. Jesus Christ removes your sin. What did I say? He removes your sin. If your sin has been placed on Christ, what's on you? Nothing but a memory. And you will beat yourself with that memory and with the shame of that past choice that you have made, and it will hit you just as hard as if it was your sin. But your sin has been taken away. Did you see that struggle that Kat and Jesus had in that video? That's exactly what's going on so often in your life. Quit fighting with him about what's already paid for. Let it go. He removed our sin. It says that over here in 1 Peter 3. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. That's actually 2:24. He bore our sins in his body on the cross that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. And in 3:18 it says that Christ, I'm in 1 Peter, that Christ also died for sins once for all. The just for who? The unjust. That's us. Okay, we didn't deserve it. We needed it. That's why he died, because you needed it. The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. I love that. Bring us to God. Because we could not be brought to God. If you were brought into God's presence in the condition you were in, you were toast forever. But he brings us to God. And so he's this great mediator. He is the best. And so, friends, what am I saying? Provision has been made. The price has been paid. It's done. What did Jesus say upon that cross? It is finished. Your sin has finished with God. He has taken care of it. That's how we can walk in victory. All sin was fully atoned for by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And we say atoned for, you can literally take that word atonement, and it's at one-ment with God. It brings you back into relationship. It offers you the opportunity to walk into God's house as a son, not as a sinner. That's an amazing thought. And so, now, how does he treat us? Because we, you know, sometimes we get onto this. We put him on the cross. It's true. We did. Our sin put him on the cross. How does he treat us? Because we feel so guilty about, I just did that. That's what crucified Jesus. Okay, I should be repulsed by my sin. But watch the difference with being repulsed by your sin and embracing the shame and the guilt for something that's already paid for. Have you ever went in and sat with all your bills and just went, oh, I owe so much. Okay, if they're not paid. But you'd look pretty twisted doing that with things that all say fully paid for, wouldn't you? Oh, I'm just so worried about these bills. They're paid for, yeah, but I'm really worried about them. That's a lot of money I used. Let it go. It's done. It's gone. It's gone. He paid for it. The bill's paid. Friends, look what he says. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but one who's been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Jesus sympathizes with weakness. He sympathizes with weakness. What we want to do is come to God with what? Strength. Yeah, I'm the Son of God. I'm the man of God. We discovered it last week, remember? He says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And bold Peter proved his point. quite thoroughly for him and for us. Okay? Now understand this. Peter was a strong man. Peter was a bold man. Peter was a man's man. And Peter was weak. And you're no different. I'm no different. I'm weak. And it's cool because Jesus sympathizes with that. And if I come to Jesus as a strong person, what's going to happen? Am I a strong person? No. So if I come to Jesus as a strong person, where am I coming to Jesus with? What is that? Pride. It's a lie and it's pride. And if I come to Jesus with a lie and with pride, am I going to get sympathy? No, no, no. You will read that Bible through a whole bunch of times and you'll never see Jesus sympathizes with the proud. No, no. I've read it. What does it say he does with the proud? He humbles them. He opposes them. He punishes them. He deals with them. Friends, if you come to God saying, I've been doing pretty good, you're in trouble. So just go ahead and tell him what's the truth. I have not been all that I could be, and that's so cool that you've given me a Savior. See, don't justify yourself. That's self-righteousness, and it has nothing to do with righteousness. It's not there. All right. So he sympathized with weaknesses. You and I are weak, but Jesus, the Son of God, is touched. That's literally what it means. He's touched by our weakness. He's touched by our struggles. He watched his disciples struggle. He watched the people suffer. He felt that. He wept with us. And Jesus is God. He's the revelation of the Father. And he sympathizes with your weakness. Now, don't get him too far down. Some people will keep it down there. Jesus has no sin. It says, yet without sin. He is not one of us in the sense that he embraced sin. He embraced humanity. He became fully man. But he's sinless. And that's what makes him Savior. That's what makes him possible to be the Lamb of God. He couldn't be the Lamb of God if he embraced sin. And so Jesus reveals to us that God is approachable. Do you see that? He approached us to prove the point because we weren't approaching him. We were hiding in the bushes, remember? All the way back from Genesis. That's where we've been, in the bush. Okay? And Peter gets this. I mean, you read his epistle. You know, and this is something, by the way, when you're reading epistles, picture the person. It'll make it more real to you. When you read his epistle and he says, cast all your care upon him because he cares for you. That was a revelation of the Holy Spirit to him. Okay? But that was an expression of the experience of his life that the Holy Spirit revealed to him. Do you understand that? Those two are tied together. That's the amazing thing about the inspiration of Scripture. And so when Peter says, you just give your problem because he cares for you. And most of you have not, standing in the presence and watching Jesus, turned and said, I don't even know him. I've never followed him. I have nothing to do. Most of you have, we've messed up, but you haven't done it as boldly and as directly as Peter did. And Peter says, you can blow it as bad as I did, and you can come cast your care on him because he cares for you. It's interesting. He could have said, cast your care on him because he died for you. He could have said, cast your care on him because he paid for you. But he brings out the heart of God to us and says, you cast your care because he cares. Yes, he died. And that is the sufficiency of why we can bring our sin to him. But he cares. And some of you have still got this image of God, and we all got to wrestle with it, of someone who is so angry with you that you dare not approach him. And so this whole idea of spending time with God, it's abhorrent to you. It's uncomfortable to you because you don't see him for who he is. But see him for who he is. Because when you do, look what he says we can do. Therefore, now he's pointing back to what he's just said, based on the fact that he's a great high priest who's finished the work, who cares about your problems, who can sympathize with how big of a screw up you are. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us draw near. Therefore, let us draw near. If you don't get that, when you look at Jesus, if it doesn't make you draw near, you didn't see Jesus, truly. You didn't understand. Because look at the Gospels. Who could draw near to Jesus? Prostitutes could come and wash his feet. That would be a little uncomfortable. Okay? Tax collectors could come. The rich could come. The poor could come. The leper could come. The blind could come. They even brought the dead to Jesus, but they didn't stay dead. So wherever you are, come to Jesus. That's my invitation to you this morning, is come to Jesus. If you're hearing my voice, come to Jesus. Why can we come? Because it's a throne of grace. That's big. That's big. Mercy and grace come to those who draw near with confidence. Mercy and grace come to those who draw near, not those who don't, to those who come near with confidence. That's a critical factor. Knowing is not the same as coming. Many of us are very knowledgeable people. Knowledge will not make you come to Jesus. It can help you come if you act upon what you know. But he says, let us draw near. The goal is close relationship with God. That's what he wants with you. Let's remember, he's the one who initiated. He demonstrated his love for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He came down to say, I love you. I want you in my family. That's what amazes me. But relationships are built by choices and responses, aren't they? They're built by choices and they can be destroyed by choices and responses. You can draw near if you choose to, all right? Being in a close relationship with someone is not automatic. Some of you thought that's how it would be. Happily ever after. We said I do, and it was going to be happily ever after. What was that? Okay, all of a sudden, you're dealing with all these choices and responses that you've got to walk through with that perfect person. You told everybody how perfect they were. And now, draw near, draw near to the throne of grace, that you might extend grace to that person you're near. Yeah, yeah, okay. This is not a message on marriage, but you can take it that way if you want. What am I saying? To be close, you have to choose to draw near, and then you have to do it. You have to choose to draw near, and you do it. Morning and evening, he's waiting for you to come. He's waiting for you through the day. He's there. He wants you to be close to him. That's what God time is. It's saying, I want a close relationship. You know, my wife and I have been in various situations. She's my best friend. Love being close to her. And, you know, we took a team overseas to Papua New Guinea one time. Had 10 people in the same house. The time before that we'd been there, it was just Susie and I. We had our own private room, and we just had this quiet time, and all of a sudden we had 10 people in the house. It's hard to get close when there's 10 other people around you, isn't it? You know, that's the thing. This is what I mean. This is good, friends. It was a wonderful thing. Don't misunderstand me. That was a great thing. But even in the middle of a great thing, you still want what? Private, quiet time. Do you hear me? It's great to come to church. This is a key thing. Celebrate together with the family. That's his plan. But get together privately with Jesus. He wants to be close to you. So, it's a choice to get close. So when he says here, let us draw near, he's literally in the original tenses here saying, let us keep on coming on to being close. Because I have found that walking with Jesus has a little bit of relationship to baseball. Yesterday's hits won't win today's ball games. You have to get up and go today. You could have been so close to God yesterday. You had the most amazing time. And you can get up today and live like the devil. It has happened. I mean, I'm not telling you who I know that's done stuff like that, but it's happened, okay? You draw near daily because your need is daily. Your need is complete. So draw near with confidence. It's an important time. It's more than an appointment, but if you don't have the appointment, the rest of it doesn't happen, all right? But you're drawing near to a throne of grace with confidence, all right? What's so exciting about that? Because you're drawing near to a throne of grace, not a throne of guilt. You're drawing near to a throne of grace, not a throne of performance. You're drawing near to a throne of grace, not a throne of shame, not a throne of judgment. But when most of us think of a throne, you're thinking of the sovereign king who rules, the holy and righteous one, and you're thinking, don't want to be there. That's where judgment comes. You ever been in a courtroom and you weren't on trial? And yet you feel the solemnness of it when the judge sits up there and is getting ready to pronounce a sentence. And you're just like, dude, this is heavy authority. And I've seen some of them use the authority, shall we say. No, this is a throne of grace. You're coming to a throne that's based on giving out what? Unmerited favor. Grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. It's a throne that is dispensing blessing based on a person's relationship to Jesus Christ. That's the throne of grace. Friends, it's fully been paid for by Christ. And you always, always approach Jesus, approach the Father on the basis of Jesus. It's what he did, not what you've done. But you have to approach. James 4:2 says it very clearly. You do not have because you do not ask. Remember, we looked at that just a couple weeks ago. You need to keep working on that one. There's stuff that God wants to do in your life you won't approach him about. You won't talk to him about. You won't ask. Ask. Now, I know some of you say, oh, I've asked. Well, then keep asking. That's part of the drawing near. Did you realize that God may let you wait on your answer? Because the only way he can get you to spend any time with him is for you to be as desperate as you are about that situation that you're desperate about. And he says, oh, I'm enjoying this time together. And you're going, I just want to get my answer and what? Get out of here. You're missing the point. Do you ever think about that? That trials could actually be just an invitation to experience grace. An invitation to come and say, yeah, I'm here for you. Blessings in disguise, someone wrote in a song recently. Friends, that we come near to this throne of grace. Why? Here it is, last phrase. So that we might receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God gives grace in a timely way. Can you say amen to that? I mean, sometimes that time seems like it's way out here on the end. You're like, I have to have that today. And yet God sustains you through that. God gives you grace in a timely way. Why do you come? Because you are needy. This is it. You do grace to those in need, in a time of need. I got a question for you. What's your time of need? What's your time of need? Always and now. My time of need is now. I need him now. And some of you are frustrated because you wished you were farther than where you are right now. I thought by now I'd be. What'd you think? You thought it was going to be about you. It's about him. It's about being dependent. Get over it. That's what brings him glory. Friends, mercy means what? Not getting what you deserve. What do I deserve? What do you deserve? We deserve an eternal hell apart from the Savior forever. That's what I deserve. And mercy comes and says, that's not what I'm going to give you. Instead, I'm going to give you grace. What's grace? It's getting what you do not deserve. So there's an amazing combination between mercy, where I don't get the judgment that I ought to get, and grace, where I get the blessing that I ought not to get. That's so cool. Think about that. I can't run all the way out on that one today. But there's blessings, and you're thinking, if I just get this right, and if I get this right, then God can grace me? Grace doesn't come based on your performance. It comes based on trusting his performance. Friends, trusting Jesus as high priest motivates believers to approach God confidently. Trusting Jesus as your high priest will motivate you to approach God confidently. And if you're not coming in confidently, if you're not eagerly approaching God, I would challenge you, re-examine your view of the high priest and quit looking. That's your trash. Because it stinks and it will keep you from getting closer to God. Bring your trash, your stuff. Yeah, that stuff that you deliberately, knowingly did to the Savior. Because it says this in Acts 10:43. It says this. Of him all the prophets bear witness, that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. Complete release through him. Call on Christ. Ask him for forgiveness. Affirm that he is the Savior, the one who died for you, the one who rose for you, and accept him as Lord and Savior. That's what this is about. Friends, the gospel is for you, not just the day you got saved, but every day of your salvation. We live by the gospel. So if you're going to get close, understand this. Closeness with God comes from confidence in Christ, not self. Confidence in Christ, not yourself. Confidence in Christ, not yourself. So one of the things I wanted to give you this week was just a little simple tip. I've been trying to give you little tools for your quiet time, for your God time. And so in your bulletin today, we have just a simple acronym that will help you. You say, I just have a hard time knowing what to talk to God about. Well, here's a very simple thing that you can do. ACTS. That's the acronym, A-C-T-S. Many of you have heard it, but it's a helpful thing for thinking about. Adoration. When you come to God, tell him about your affection. Tell him about your appreciation. Have you done that yet today? You know, you could have sung a song today and still not did it. It has to come from your heart. And then confession. Agree with him about your need. Agree with him about your rebellion. Admit your problem. And then See, that's the high priest. He took care of that. And then the thanksgiving. I have an awesome high priest. If you can't give thanks to God all day just thinking about Jesus as your high priest. In fact, I could do that every day. But then he's also the creator. I'm out here walking. I just move into thanksgiving. What an amazing creator. Look at all those dark, foggy clouds he's been making. Do you thank him for that stuff? He made that stuff. That's part of what keeps us green. You should be thankful. And then supplication. Petition God for you. Petition God for others. Petition God for your preacher. He desperately needs it. All right? I am never not in need. Don't ever think I'm somewhere different than you are. I come to the same cross and the same Christ with the same needs. So pray for these things. And this will help you. And then if you would like, on the back there's 7 more prayer promises. Okay? And if you have picked up your promises journal guide, you can actually use this. And this will be this week. By the way, 7 is how many days of the week? 7. If you don't spend time with God, 7 days without food makes you weak. All right? So spend the week with God meditating on these promises so that your conversation with him could be changed. Your relationship can be changed. Somehow we've got in our mind that prayer is about getting what you want as opposed to enjoying who you have. That's what it's about. That's what changes it for me. When I'm there, I mean, there's stuff that I want and stuff that I need, and he tells me to come, so I come. I come, believe me. I'm not talking about not coming to get stuff. But that's not only why you come. Does that make sense? Think about that. Is if somebody, the only time the grandchild talks to you, the only time your child talks to you is because they want something, it don't feel very good, does it? Pretty soon you begin feeling like, I'm a vending machine. Don't treat God like that. Friends, God wants a close relationship with you. And he's made full provision for you and I to have it. That's what's so amazing. Next couple of weeks, we're going to go into what does it mean to rejoice with him? And what does it mean to hear his voice, to walk in the Spirit? Because that's a key part of this God time that I want you to step into. It's farther than most people go, but he has something more for you than many people step into. And so be praying for me as I find ways to articulate that. But as we close today, I want you to stand with me right now. I'm going to read to you a verse of Scripture, even as we close in song. And here's what the Word of God says. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our assembling of ourselves together, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Is that awesome? Yes. That's God's word. Let's sing this song to him. Father, we come to you right now, and we just acknowledge a complete need of a perfect Savior. And Father, I just ask for that one who's listening right now who has not let go of the bag and they're holding on to their own sin. Would you just open up their hands to you? Can you just do that? Open up your hands to Jesus and say, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Save me. Tell him that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Are you telling him that today? Even as everybody else has got their heads bowed, have you told him that? I need the Savior today. Could you tell him that today? If you've never done that, you just raise your hand and say, I'm coming today to Jesus Christ. I need the Savior. Father, thank you for what you're doing in people's hearts. And we thank you, those of us that we've been brought in, Lord, we thank you that you're full provision. And we praise you for the victory that you have purchased for us. And we thank you for this close relationship that's possible in Christ.